Let's begin by offering up a word of prayer. Father, we praise you for this opportunity we have again to seek your face and worship you and focus especially on the Lord Jesus and on that incredible night when he was born in the stable. And we praise you that we can honor him tonight as we sing and as we hear your word preached and as we gather around and sing Silent Night in just a little bit with the lighting of the candles, reminding us of the nighttime sky, the shepherds coming, all of this. We praise you for the privilege to gather again and to worship together. We pray that as we sing and as we listen, as we hear your word, and as we gather to sing at the end, that all these things will bring joy to your heart as we honor and remember your son and what he did. And may it bring joy to each of our hearts, draw us closer to you and to each other, and prepare us for the celebration tomorrow when we remember the Lord's birth. Thank you now for this hour. We commit it to you and pray for your Spirit's blessing upon it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Matthew chapter 1. We saw the Christmas story this morning in Luke. We're going to look at Matthew this evening. Beginning at verse number 18 of chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened the treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. Couple of announcements. Wednesday night we have our... Let's see. What is yours? Oh, prayer request, it says. Do you have prayer? To worship you, to rejoice in your goodness, to know that you have come and that you're here with us. You live in us. We are your children. We are your people. We pray that you'll help us to walk in fellowship with you and do your will day by day. Help us to love one another and to serve you together. Forgive us, our Father, for any sin. We pray that we might not do anything that would be offensive to you. But forgive us when we do. And Lord, we do pray for our people. We think of our those that we know and love and desire to see living righteously. And we pray, Lord, that you'll work in every heart and life. We do pray tonight for Mary. She's been sick now for over a week, and we pray that you will touch her and strengthen her. We think of others also who are no doubt under the weather or not feeling well, some of them quite ill. We pray that you'll have mercy upon them, restore them to health. We do want to thank you for the good service we had this morning, for the folks that came out, and we pray that you'll just continue to bless our church. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. It's wonderful how you supply our needs week by week, day by day. And we thank you for all your grace and love to us. Thank you for the care that we have for one another. So, Lord, we pray that you'll bless now this service and all that we say and do as we think once again of what Jesus has done for us. May we look to you and find the strength that we need. We just pray that your holy will might be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again to Matthew chapter 1. Of course, Matthew and Luke are the primary sources that we have about the birth of Jesus. There's a few other verses here and there, but those are the accounts that we have. And Matthew especially emphasizes Jesus as the great king. He begins his gospel by tracing his genealogy, looking back through his history, where he came from, through the line of David and Abraham, all the way back to that important part where these great men of the past, the patriarchs, were there, and Jesus came down from them according to the flesh, the way that he was born. And here, nothing is said about the emperor's decree here in Matthew. In Luke, it talks about the emperor making the decree and about all these other things. But here in Matthew, it doesn't say anything about that. It doesn't even say that they lived in Nazareth to begin with. So it's quite a different way of presenting the same truth. Certain things that are mentioned and others that are not. It doesn't say anything about the angels. You know, the Gospel of Luke goes into detail about the message from the angels coming to the shepherds. But Matthew doesn't say anything about that at all. He has a different view on the Christmas story. So Luke is presenting Jesus as the Son of Man. He's the human version of God himself, right? The Son of God became the Son of Man. And so he's presenting him in that way. Matthew is presenting him as the king, emphasizing that in his presentation. So there's absolute agreement, however, in the essential facts about the birth of Jesus. And notice one thing, it says here in verse 18, he talks about this. The birth of Jesus Christ was like this. It was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now people may scoff at the idea that someone can have a child without a human father. And yet that's exactly what happened with Mary. You remember the angel came and spoke to her and told her what was going to happen and how it came to pass exactly as he said. Somehow the Holy Spirit of God placed within her the seed that she would have this child. And he would be the Son of God and also the son of Mary. So Mary was a virgin. She had never had any kind of relationship with a man. And she expresses that quite vividly. She said, how can this be? I don't know a man. I've never had any kind of relationship. And they explained it to her. The angel told her, no, this is the work of God. You have a very special place. You're blessed among the women because God has chosen you. He's placed his favor and his grace upon you. Now, Mary must have been very upset, I would think. I don't know. To think an angel coming to her, first of all, and then his message and what was going to happen to her. I don't know. I wonder. She was engaged, of course. She was the promised bride to Joseph the carpenter. But they had never been together and intimately. And so God chose her to be the mother of his son. In a miraculous way, the Holy Spirit placed within her this little thing. This thing which it says was the Son of God, the seed that was to become the Christ. You know, we worship and adore the Lord Jesus because of who he is. But this is, you know, it's strange to think about how all of that happened, you know. And yet we know that it is true. His conception was a miracle. You know, they said he was probably born in maybe September, something like that. But, you know, it takes 9 months for a baby to form and to be born. So perhaps he was conceived in maybe December, huh? How about that? That could be. Maybe we're celebrating the conception of Jesus instead of his birth. But at any rate, well, that is the time that has been set apart for this special purpose to think about him. And that's what we want to do. Think about Jesus and who he is. You know, so much of Christmas is full of glitz and presents and all of having a good time, right? And rejoicing. And there's nothing wrong, I don't think, with celebrating and rejoicing as long as you understand what it's all about. But you know, Santa Claus didn't die for me on the cross. It was Jesus, right? And I don't begrudge the children having Santa Claus come and they can rejoice and all that. But at some point they need to know what it's all about, right? So we need to teach the little children that Jesus is what it's all about. He's the Savior. He's the Lord. And we look to him. So we find here, Paul calls this the mystery of godliness in 1 Timothy 3:16. The mystery of godliness. God became a man. He was manifest in the flesh. Jesus, God himself, became a man. And what about Joseph? You know, this morning Steve sang the song, Joseph's Song. I like that one. And here we have Joseph finding out that his girlfriend, his fiance, is pregnant. And he said, uh-oh, I didn't do it. Right? So how did this come about? And she says, oh, well, you know, it was God. God's the one who did it. Now, what do you think? If someone told you that, what would you think? You say, well, that's a nice story. But anyway, it was true. You know, that's the wonderful thing about it. And another angel had to come to Joseph and tell him about that. Joseph, it says here in verse 19, her husband was a just man, righteous man, and not willing to make her a public example, was thinking about putting her away privately. In other words, just divorcing her, letting her go her own way, and he would not embarrass her or turn her away. But while he thought on these things, he says, the angel of the Lord. That sounds like a pretty important angel, I think. The angel of the Lord came in a dream, of all things, and talked to him and told him, don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Right? It's the Holy Spirit who is working to bring her this child. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. I like the way they've got it in my Bible. It's all capital letters. Now, I don't know if that has anything to do with the original. But at any rate, Jesus, he's the most important one in this entire story. For he shall save his people from their sins. So Jesus came as the Savior, the Redeemer, the one who would take away the sins. First of all, the people of Israel, and then the Gentiles as well. But we know, of course, that he was not received as the king. He was rejected. Went to the cross, and it looked like everything was lost, right? His disciples locked themselves in a room and said, uh-oh, don't answer the door, thinking that they were going to be next. But Jesus came and arose from the dead, and now we worship him. So that's what it's all about. And here, while Joseph was thinking about this, God sent him the message directly, and he believed, and he accepted Mary as his wife. But it says, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Actually, the angel named him even before that, didn't he? He said, this is his name. And Joseph followed through with what he said. And he says here, this is in fulfillment of that verse over in Isaiah, where it says, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see? And so here we have the Joseph taking his part in this story. What do you think of that? You know, they say probably Joseph might have been a little bit older than Mary. He was already a carpenter. He had his work that he did and so forth. Mary was probably still a teenager. But here he's willing to take her and to raise this child as his own and to take his part in the responsibility of all this. That's quite a job to take on such a responsibility that he did. But Joseph was willing to do that. And then the next chapter here starts off talking about these mysterious people that came from the east, right? Probably they say the area that today would be Iran, Iraq, somewhere over in there, these wise men, magi, came on a long trip. I don't know how long it was, but it was after Jesus was born. It says here in my Bible, when Jesus was born. I know it's in another version, it said after Jesus was born, but right about that time. Anyway, they saw this majestic star in the sky. They said, this is his star. How did they know that that was his star? Well, there's all kinds of ideas about it. But, you know, Daniel, the prophet, was made the head of the wise men of Babylon. And no doubt he must have taught them the scriptures. And probably that's where they got the idea, because these were some of the wise men from some in that area, at least. There were quite a number of them. But these, I started to say these three. We don't know how many there were, right? But at any rate, these men decided to go and see what this was all about. I said, the king of the Jews is being born. And that was what they said when they got. They were following the star, and it disappeared. Right? And so they ended up saying, well, we'd better go to Jerusalem because that's the capital city, right? And it was capital city even back then. And here they go and talk with the king, Herod, this man who was so jealous of his position, killed some of his own family, and now he's trying to get rid of this new baby that's been born, that's going to take his position. He's thinking in a, you know, normal, physical, material way. He wasn't thinking spiritually. He did ask the leaders there in his cabinet or whatever. He said, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? And they knew, right? They said, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it's written in the prophet. And they quote the scripture here that Bethlehem, Ephrathah, is the place where he is going to be born. The one who is going to be the ruler over the people of Israel. So then Herod sends the wise men down to Bethlehem. He says, go and find this baby, this child, I should say. It says young child. You know how accurate the Bible is? It doesn't call him a baby. It says a young child, right? So he's not just been born. They didn't go to the manger. We know that. They went to the house where Joseph and Mary and Jesus were living. I don't know how old he was. It's hard to say. However, Herod did kill all of the children in the area 2 years old and under. I guess he wanted to make sure he got all of them, right? So somewhere in that way, it took him a long time to get to Bethlehem, and so they told him when the star appeared, and he sent them, He says, you go and find him, and I'll come and worship him too. What a hypocrite, huh? What do you think? And here, the wise men go, and they find, there as they're leaving Jerusalem, going on down the road, what do they see? The star. The star is back. Hey. And it says they rejoice with exceeding great joy. Right? And so they came to the house where Jesus lived. And it says they brought in their gifts. And they, what does it say? And they worshiped him. Notice that? It doesn't say they worshiped them. It says they worshiped him. You know? Mary has already told us before that she needed the mercy and grace of God, just like any of the rest of us. Of course, Joseph did as well. But Jesus, they worshiped him because he is God. And then they offered him those famous gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and worshiped and adored him. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So Herod then had to try to solve the problem himself by killing all of these children and causing such a terrible situation to get worse. Joseph had to take his family and go to Egypt. I don't know how long they were in Egypt. I was reading a book, and this Egyptian president, he was saying that Jesus was in Egypt for 3 years. Now, I don't know. You know, that's his idea, that they had given him hospitality during that time. And so, anyway, we don't really know. But we see how the hand of God protected the Lord Jesus and his people, and how he continues to do that even today. We think of the mercy and grace of God that he has given us in Christ Jesus. And we have salvation through him. So it's wonderful to celebrate Christmas and to know the true meaning of it. Well, from the Word of God, he gives it to us very clearly, tells us exactly what happened and how all of these people were involved in that. And how that the Lord Jesus came into this world in such a marvelous way. Born of God and born of Mary, Jesus, our blessed Savior. Thank you, Lord, for all your goodness to us tonight. We just thank you that we have salvation through Christ Jesus. We pray for each and every one who's here tonight. I hope everyone has put their faith and trust in Christ and accepted him as their personal Lord and Savior. And we pray that each one might have that full assurance in their hearts and know and love you and serve you faithfully. Bless the rest of our service. May we truly let our light shine before others that they might see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. We pray in his precious name. Amen.